I'm very happy now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe, Stephen Rubin. He's an actor, writer, he's founder of Jules Works Follies. He's a man about town. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, as always, Mary Charlotte.
And Weston McDowell joins us. He's a musician and entertainer. He's founder and lead singer of the Shiners Club Jazz Band. Welcome.
Thank you.
So we have an event coming up tonight at the Jean Cocteau Cinema, and it is the 36th, ladies and gentlemen, it's true, edition of Jules Works Follies, which is the monthly or almost monthly variety show.
That's right.
What's it about this time?
Well, we took a couple months off and we're revamping, and we have 6 months to brand the show more strongly so we can stay at the Jean Cocteau and have about 40 or 50 of you every show. And so part of that, this is actually per a meeting with the owner of the theater, George Martin, who wanted us to be able to stay there, but we need more of you to come, and we're going to have a theme each time.
Ah.
And so this theme is a little broader. In the coming months, they'll be more focused. But the theme this month is birthdays, anniversaries, because a lot of people in the troupe, including Jules, myself, are Tauruses. And Jules Works is 36. I think doing the math means we're launching our third year of existing with this variety show.
So birthdays and anniversaries are, of course, great fodder for comedy.
Yeah. Well, and also everyone who comes to the rehearsals, those members of the troupe that perform, we ended up choosing a real person a famous person whose birthday is up, and so we're going to play with that a little bit on stage.
How would you define a non-real person?
I realized as I was calling famous people real people that it's kind of the opposite in a way. If you've never met them, how real can they be? But
Some of them live here in Santa Fe.
They do, yes, and actually originally Caitlin, who's in the troupe, chose Shirley MacLean, who has my birthday, but then she switched to Winona Judd. But anyway.
All right. In any case, the motto of this particular show is keep calm and eat cheese. What is that about?
I've been saying for the 3 years we've been doing this that the actors get paid in cheese, because we meet a couple times a week or more in my little basement house, the Hobbit Den.
Lots of beer, lots of cheese.
Yeah,
very small room.
Low on the beer, but lots on the cheese. No, just so we eat. I feed, but we love cheese. And now with Cheesemongers open in town, the quality of the cheese is even greater.
So. Which means better comedy.
Which means we're much funnier, happier, motivated.
Right. Yeah. Or you sure feel that way.
The beer helps us feel that way. And whiskey one time. That was really rough, the whiskey.
So you are, Weston McDowell, you are part of this. What is your role in Jules Works Follies this time around tonight?
Yeah, so Steve invited me to be a part of the show, and I really didn't know what I was going to do for the show.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I was recently living in Austin, Texas, and I was in a vaudeville duet called Bailey and the Flea Circus. Vaudeville is an old form of American comedy that would be, attached to like the Marx Brothers or the Three Stooges. So it's kind of slapstick sketch comedy.
Why I oughta.
Yeah. So
why you I oughta.
So when Steve, connected, I thought, oh, this is great. This is another opportunity for me to just be a silly jack.
And then you found out that it was absolutely nothing like what you pictured. But it was actually interesting the way we met. I think we'd met years ago or something, but this time around I got an email from Weston McDowell, which is an old-fashioned name to me, and it was talking about vaudeville, how great it was we were doing vaudeville, and George Martin had been calling us vaudeville, and I personally, having never seen vaudeville, because it doesn't really necessarily exist, like I just, in general, have a hard time saying I know what something is if I've never seen it or never met the person. Again, the real thing.
Yeah.
So obviously I've heard of vaudeville and stuff, and my acting teacher's dad was big in vaudeville. But anyway, so I was picturing an older guy, and finally met Weston, who's younger than me. And anyway, so it was cool. And then we had him
thanks,
come.
Steve.
Yeah. Just because, who will be emailing me out of nowhere about vaudeville? And I also felt weird with George with the guests to the Jean Cocteau and stuff. Oh, this is Jules. He's an actor, and he's trying to bring vaudeville back to Santa Fe. And I would feel badly because I was like, I don't even know what it is. But
so vaudeville, all of these forms are products of their time.
Yeah.
And
right.
That time is long gone. So what is it for audiences today? Is it a sort of experience of retro? Are you updating it? Are the same jokes funny that were funny 80, 100 years ago?
Yeah. So, for example, there is a Tin Pan Alley was a music publishing company in New York during the 1920s, and there was a lot of theater, of course, going on in New York. And so these songwriters were writing these really kind of dirty songs, these dirty ragtime songs. For example, there's a song called I'm Gonna Give It to Mary with Love, which has a story that sounds like he's going to give it to her, and it ends up being a ring, of course, but the whole story mm-hmm. leading up to that point.
Double,
so that's an example.
Entendre.
Double entendre. So, yeah, the double entendre is still funny.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it is a throwback. It is a throwback within, I guess, the music, the musical
the
sound of it.
Your clothes,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, and the clothes.
I mean, to be fair, I would say Weston definitely has some
down.
Of the authentic, you know, he's been performing for a bunch of months now and doing some songs, and he'll do more this time. And his feel is definitely retro. The rest of us, not necessarily. But so what I had been saying was vaudeville for the modern age or something like that. I think I pretended that was a quote from George Martin, to drop his name again. But and he laughed when I did tell him that. But so more like for the rest of it is just the open-ended varietiness of it, and to be entertaining and quick maybe somewhat is there. And
vaudeville also was, it was like a cheap penny theater that was in New York where you did have comedy, you did have belly dancing, you had magicians, and
yeah.
so I think within the spirit, the Jules work,
yeah.
within the spirit of the cabaret, the like eclectic performers, it's in the spirit
yeah,
of
that. Yeah, we definitely capture that. Yep. And
Yeah, so you've got various like segments. One of them is called Democracy Later.
Yes, it is. It is our loving homage to the great Amy Goodman's show Democracy Now, and we don't really spoof her at all. We actually dropped, even originally we had a fake name, now it's just Leticia Cortez plays the host, and we're really just, if we're spoofing anything, it's the ridiculousness of news in this world, and obviously Democracy Later has some connotations that we can all relate to maybe.
But it's a talk show format
yeah.
with guests like Hillary Clinton and
yeah.
Ted Cruz and
yes.
apparently you as Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, we're pushing it. We're pushing it. It's his birthday, the same. It's Shakespeare. Originally, this show was going to be late April, not mid-May. So we're going to do some Shakespeare, Hitler, my own birthday, Jules Works.
Right.
Yeah, so we'll see. Hopefully.
You're in mixed company, shall we say.
Yeah. Yeah, but Hitler in this sketch has been brought back by NASA to the modern day and joins Ted Cruz. The main joke in there is that those two make Hitler look liberal, I guess, as well.
Oh, dear. All right. And there's another chapter of an ongoing serial. Now, do you have to have seen the earlier parts of the serial to get what's going on?
No. I'm not sure if you mean the one that I write, Chatting with God, or
yeah,
the
yeah, Chatting with God.
Yeah. We try, as particularly with the themes, we want to do even more of trying to have either recurring characters that each of us play or sketches. So, but no, you don't have to see. The Chatting with God is just these characters talking mostly. That one's definitely not plot-based.
And is there somebody playing God?
Yeah, I guess that originally it was called Whatever You Do. And then, but Stephen Rommel, who's been part of the show since day one, who's now doing a lot of other acting around town, thanks to my nudging, was originally doing sound and music. But not the sound of music. And he, so he's not on stage with the other characters, but he's through a mic. So it's like the God voice. And then somebody, a fan or maybe even someone who saw the show and hated it, but suggested we just said, call it what it is, Chatting with God. So, because he does act like this God. But
okay.
Sort of, but.
And as always, there is a very loving tribute to Monty Python.
Yes, we pretty much always do some Monty Python, and this time, in keeping with the cheese, we're doing their famous cheese shop sketch.
Nice.
And usually
that's a great sketch.
It is a great sketch. It's hard and great, and usually I do Michael Palin. He's my spirit Python, but I'm switching to do the Cleese, and Rommel is going to be the surly Michael Palin.
Your spirit shop. Python? That's like your spirit animal?
Yeah, but it's the spirit Monty Python actor.
Excellent.
Yes. And then Weston's going to be joining in the original version of the sketch. They have this bouzouki player, the Turkish muse or something. So Weston's subbing in as a vaudevillian ukulele playing, you know, because he is part of the sketch. And
excellent.
That's the first time Weston's doing. This is the first month that Weston is doing Python and has been coming consistently to rehearsals to help us write. We know we do a mix of Monty Python and the Hitchhiker's Guide we do each month. Although we had a couple months off, but we're at the part from the original radio series where the books went from Hitchhiker's Guide to Restaurant in the Universe. So it's great like 10-minute bit. And then we also try to mix in as much original material as we can.
Now, one of the themes in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is don't panic.
Don't panic.
Was that the influence for Keep Calm and Eat Cheese?
We're looking at the flyer just to let the listeners know, and it's actually, there's that meme or whatever, and there's T-shirts of the Keep Calm with the Royal logo. I don't know where it came from, but there's a bazillion now where it's Keep Calm, and people put in all kinds of different things.
Okay.
I didn't make that. I was looking in for things online to make this flyer, which also include a dragon eating cheese, which I suppose fits Game of Thrones, although our show has nothing to do with that this time, and a mouse lifting weights with barbells of cheese.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Stephen Rubin and Weston McDowell about Jules Works Follies, which is tonight at 7 o'clock at the Jean Cocteau Theater. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk a little bit more about you and your work, Weston McDowell. I mean, you do vaudeville, you play in the Shiners Club Jazz Band.
Yes.
What? Tell us more about that band.
So the Shiners Club Jazz Band is we play old American jazz, which has roots within ragtime, swing, and Delta blues. And we've been really trying to stimulate the scene of swing dance and just kind of old American music culture.
Mm-hmm. And do the swing dancers come out?
They do, yeah, from Albuquerque, Española, and Santa Fe.
So
yeah,
there's still a thriving swing community.
There is. It's building. It is building.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think it is that attracts people to such a kind of, parent, grandparent generation art form, musical form?
Wow, that's a really good question.
with vaudeville, I was wondering earlier, and then you can answer, but like whether you were talking about the cleaner humor, whether because, Lenny Bruce is old now, there's been decades of so much dirty John Waters movies, there's no pushing the limits anymore because it's all been done, that, to my opinion and others, I'm sure, that so when something is just, dirty words and sex humor, it's lazy now and easy and you're not impressing anyone. So to be retro with it is kind of more impressive in some ways.
Yeah.
I don't know if that ties into the music side of it, but it could.
I think it has class. And I think, honestly, if I can get on my soapbox for a minute, this whole idea of American culture coming to maturity 100 years later, it's been 100 years almost since the 1920s in the ragtime era. So I think people, particularly right now in this country, are really taking pride in American art forms because of the way American music has influenced the entire world. I mean, jazz, ragtime affected the entire world. You can read about these musicians, African-American musicians, mm-hmm. really changing the style of music all around the world back in the teens and the 20s. And and I think that now that art forms, like Stephen was saying, are becoming maybe convoluted in a sense because we have so much different influences from all sides that people are starting to distill American styles, art forms.
There's also another dimension of what's going on now is that there is the continual pressure to produce for the sake of money, and which is fine because we all have to make a living, but there is something about an art form that really springs from the people and has a kind of, I don't know what the word is, but authenticity or truth to mm-hmm. its roots, which yeah. is really beautiful, and you recognize that when you hear it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would hope with the show, since other than cheese, the actors don't make any income, that similar of for the audience to see people that are doing it because they love it, that helps it be a more authentic show in general. So.
The variety show form is also just in itself super retro.
Yeah.
I mean, what were variety shows? I mean, you think back on, like the Ed Sullivan Show back mm-hmm. in the day, like Sábado Gigante on.
Yeah, that's that's still around.
Spanish language TV. I think it's. I heard the other day that it's no longer around. I'm not sure what happened. Yeah. There might have been a scandal, but I'm not sure.
Oh yeah, he was kind of crazy, that guy.
But anyway, no, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
But it felt like I don't know what, like 1950s and 60s old fashioned America.
Yeah, and that stuff's much more appealing to me than the reality, not reality shows, whatever that stuff is, the Dancing with the Stars stuff that people, that stuff doesn't have the same. Yeah, those old variety shows were great.
Yeah, I think
the talk shows
before
they became interviews.
Of a television, you know, right around the 1950s, you had it was a whole new collaboration of where you had writers behind the scenes, like Steve Martin or like...
yeah, a lot of the big...
And then you had actors, you featured musicians, and then, yeah, it was an interesting time, I think, with the technology.
Until Johnny Carson, I think talk shows really more were like Dick Cavett, and it wasn't all the interviews, it was... You know, it was
jugglers.
It switched from Johnny Carson mostly that there would be one performance and then all interviews, and it was kind of the other way around, I think, which is more interesting in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, there's something about like this, especially with the Jules Works Follies variety show. This is our community.
Yeah, it's all local, and it isn't. It doesn't necessarily have to be comedy. I mean, things are kept short usually and entertaining, but there's poets, and some of the musicians obviously are just musicians that play music. So I like to clarify that for people too, that it's not strictly a comedy show, as you know.
So, but the comedy is part of it.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
You know, comedy improv, which I think many of us over the years maybe gave it a shot, mm-hmm. like took a class or went to a workshop or something like that just to see what we could do.
Yeah.
Man, it's hard.
Improv is hard, yeah. We started doing improv a while ago, and it was terrible the first time we did it. And I had told the people involved that improv is rehearsed a lot, like way more than we rehearse. And some of the performers that just didn't understand. It's not that you rehearse the material, but you have to be comfortable with each other. And as much as it seems like there should be no rules, anyone who's done improv knows there's about three fundamental rules that it's just been proven that if you don't follow those, it's not likely to work much.
What are those rules?
The number one is you can't say no. So if I say you're a pickle-eating moose, you don't say no, I'm not. You say yes, and I ate your mom's pickle this morning. You know, whatever. You go
right.
with it.
Because right, right.
the second you say no, one of the best sketches we ever did was Ricky Gervais' Life is Short, this thing he did with Warwick Davis, the guy who was in Ewok and stuff. And Liam Neeson comes on the show, and he's stone serious, and he comes in, I'd like to do some comedy, and they're all laughing at him. And so he thinks he could be funny, and they're making the point that being funny is not easy. And then at the end they do, let's do some improv. And we did this twice at Jules Works, so I got to be Liam Neeson twice. And so Warwick, come in, you're a green grocer. Sorry, shop's closed. And the sketch is over if you say no like that.
Oh my goodness! I thought the punchline was that Liam Neeson was really good.
Well, he is being in a serious way. I mean,
no, I know, but I mean, in comedy.
Yeah, no,
not so much.
Not in the yeah.
Oh, okay.
The comedy for him was how serious he was.
What's the second rule?
So another one don't ask questions. And it's
interesting.
Weston mentioned being terrified of improv. It is very scary, and that's one of the things that it's understandable when you get up there why you would ask a question. It doesn't really work because it doesn't establish anything.
Yeah.
It's scary to the other partners.
Where
so
did your love for pickles come from?
Yeah.
Who the heck knows?
Who knows? Yeah. So if you get up there and say, would you like a pickle? It doesn't help us for the next 2 minutes or 30 seconds to be engaging and funny. But if I come up there and firmly establish that your mom works at Vlasic, then we can go from there. You know?
Interesting. And what's the third one?
So a third is you know, kind of just focus and focusing on the relationships of whatever character that you come up with right away. And also just it's important to sort of focus on your teammates. That's where the rehearsal comes in, is being comfortable with each other and that whole thing of being willing sometimes to say something not funny, like, therefore this happened, so the next person can...
Oh, so you're making space for other people to be funny.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
So someone who's used to doing stand-up and being the spotlight cannot necessarily... would have a hard time maybe being good at improv if they always need to have that spotlight. That's not the attitude that's going to help it be a good improv team.
So improv is so much about the ensemble, really.
It is, yeah, and that's what makes it work because it's all so fast, too. You get up there and the audience tells you to do something that you... And the improv we do will always have audience input. That's important to us. To, you know, break if there's been a poet or a music, something that's strictly performance, let the audience participate. And one time we had a heckler who jumped up on stage. That was cool.
Was it cool?
Yeah. It's this 30-second commercial game that we play, and he made himself the product, so he went up there to... having the bar at the Jean Cocteau helped.
Now, you also have... It's almost time to go, but you also have Woody Allen, William F. Buckley debate.
Oh, yeah. So two of the people that have been involved almost every month are Tom Sibley and Leticia Cortez. Leticia does the Democracy Later. Tom writes. They both write a lot. They do the improv some. Leticia does her own poetry, and Tom does stand-up. But they also found this... both those guys had shows in the 70s or something.
Woody Allen and Buckley. William F. Buckley certainly did, and Woody Allen was busy making movies.
Yeah, but he was, you know, he was a lot looser and funnier in the old days.
He was indeed, and his stand-up is absolutely to die for.
Yeah, I mean, he still puts out good movies sometimes, but he was much lighter. I mean, I guess that's being young. Yeah. Who knows? He was wacky, he was goofy, he had that grin. And I actually don't remember the sketch they're doing. Whose show it was, but anyways, I guess they notoriously sort of hated each other, understandably. But they actually met
in real life and had a debate.
Yeah, they did this debate, and so Tom and one of our other new performers, Scott White, who's been a fan of ours with his terrific lady friend, coming for a while, is joining as a writer and performer, and so there he's doing Woody Allen, and they're recreating that with a little modern twist. So it's an interesting relic.
Fun for the whole family, ladies and gentlemen. Jules Works Follies number 36 is tonight at 7 o'clock at the Jean Cocteau Cinema, and it's such a nice space in there. It's kind of an intimate space.
Yeah, it is, and there's no backstage, so we end up having to go through the aisle, which I think is actually kind of nice for the audience. And one thing, Weston doesn't know this yet, but what our resident musician usually is Greg Turner, and I believe for family reasons he's out of town, so there may be even more of Weston musically at
Excellent.
The show.
Great. Let me know.
Weston's finding this out. Hours before the show, Stephen Rubin is an actor, writer, founder of Jules Works Follies. Weston McDowell is a musician and entertainer and founder and lead of the Shiners Club Jazz Band. And you can actually become a Jules Works member
for free, and that
gives you a discount.
Yes, it does. That's part of our new plan to keep the show alive.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you both gentlemen for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, as always.
Thank you.